Good afternoon, brethren, and those watching on the webcast. They had only 6 hours of oxygen left. It was August the 8th, 2005. 7 Russian submarine crewmen were stuck on the bottom of the sea for more than 3 days in the cold, dark ocean. It was through the frantic but united and coordinated efforts of mariners from Russia, Japan, Britain, and America, the personnel that these 7 Russian submarine crew members were rescued from a trapped vessel after their propeller of their sub became entangled in cables used by Russian coastal monitoring equipment. The Russian defense minister was reputed to have said, "We have seen in deeds, not words, what the brotherhood of the sea means. We have seen in deeds, not in words, what the brotherhood of the sea means." You can look at the story on history.com, This Day in History, if you'd like to review the details on that. But here we are, the last Sabbath of the year, in the last Sabbath of this decade, as we plunge headlong into 2020. Thank you, Michael. How is your vision? Is your vision 2020? We can be reminded in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul was writing to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 19. "Therefore, you brethren are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If you Google nearsightedness epidemic, you'll find that the American Academy of Ophthalmology and the National Eye Institute claim that myopia, or nearsightedness, will affect more than half the population of the world by 2050. In 30 years, more than half the population of the world will be suffering from myopia or nearsightedness. The household of God needs vision, not nearsightedness, right? The main reason for this nearsightedness or myopia seems to be attributable to our digital addiction to our devices, one of the most popular of which is the invention of the cell phone and the smart tablet in the last 20 years. There was a great article in United News last year that said we need to check ourselves on whether we suffer from FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out on social media, email, and text messages. Many of us spend much of our day with our eyes glued to tiny screens, and this causes considerable eye strain. In the U.S., the rate of myopia has doubled since 2000. Meanwhile, in Europe and Asia, the rates are soaring even higher. One way we can combat this is, aside from lessening our time on digital devices, but as someone who spent 37 years staring at computer screens all day, the 20-20-20 rule is a recommended help for this, to prevent eye strain. The American Optometric Association and the Academy of Ophthalmology recommends this way to reduce eye strain. Spending long hours in front of the computer, phone, tablet, little screens can strain your eyes, and using this 20/20/20 rule can help prevent this problem of myopia or nearsightedness. The rule says that for every 20 minutes spent looking at a screen, a person should look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. Every 20 minutes, look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. So we need, as part of the household of God, to be cognizant and aware of spiritual myopia, spiritual nearsightedness. So why do we need vision as the household of God? I heard a profound saying recently that says, when you become a diamond, then you will understand why God had to allow life to put pressure on you. After Job's devastating calamity, we can remember in chapter 2 where his own wife said, how long are you going to hold on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Remember that? And yet we see Job had the vision to trust in God, because in chapter 42, at the end of the story, God restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and God increased all that Job had twofold, doubled everything that he had. Verse 11, chapter 42, all his brothers and his sisters and all that had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house. Here, it was like a meeting of the household of God supporting one another. And they consoled and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him. Everyone gave him a piece of money and a ring of gold, and God blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. How much vision did it require Job to trust in God then? How long did it take for that restoration that God provided of his fortunes? How long does it take to raise seven sons and three daughters that God restored for him, thus allowing him to see his sons and grandchildren for four generations? And the fact that Job lived 140 years after that, he had the vision to continue trusting in God. It is truly difficult at times to have vision and refrain from looking at the things that we can see all around us, especially when they cause us pain or grief or sorrow. That is why God has placed us in his household with his saints, right? So we may continually help build one another up with his saints, building each other up, bringing each other back to the light when we get caught up in difficult times. There's a saying that goes, rock bottom will teach you lessons that the mountaintop never will. I always like the quote from General Patton that says, the true measure of success is how high you bounce once you hit bottom. In every field of endeavor, there's one top award, right? That's considered the highest recognition for achievement or excellence, like the Nobel Prize, the Academy Award, the Grammy, the Olympic medal. But there is one greater prize that we've been revealed by God, the greater prize that any one of us can win. And Paul helps those in Philippi in chapter 3, verse 12. I like the Common English Bible translation of Philippians 3, verse 12, when he tells them, it's not that I have already reached this goal or that I'm already perfect, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it because Christ grabbed a hold of me for just this reason, this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. Listen to his vision. I forget about the things behind me and I reach out for things ahead. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Jesus Christ. He was helping the household of God with their vision, encouraging them that way. And we can look at the life of Peter, who almost drowned once when Christ had to lift him out of the lake because of his lack of faith. You remember that story. And another time, when Jesus Christ, his friend, actually called him Satan. We could see that in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus was showing his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer all those things from the elders and priests and the scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. Peter took him aside and said, "God forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you." But he turned to Peter, giving him the vision of the household of God. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on the interests of God, but on man's interests. You're lacking vision, Peter." And then Peter also denied his best friend and Savior three times in one night, before the rooster crowed the next morning. This same Peter, whom Christ said this to in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, he said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you." In the vision that God gave Jesus Christ of his intent and future, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." When you have returned to me, help your brethren with the vision that I have shared with you of what God's plans and intent are. This is the same Peter that, after Jesus Christ prayed for him, gave that sermon in Acts chapter 2 when more than 3,000 people were baptized starting in that one day. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God." This is the New American Standard Version, chapter 2, verse 22. "He did miracles," speaking of Jesus, "that God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." Verse 23, "This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God." God had given us this vision of what would happen. "You nailed him to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." Verse 24, "But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power." And David said of him, Peter goes on to tell what David's vision was of what Jesus Christ was saying and reflecting in his vision. "I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh," Jesus Christ was saying, and David is writing this, "will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the grave, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You've made known to me the ways of life," verse 28. "You will make me full of gladness with your presence." Verse 29, "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David," Peter is saying about David, "that he died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet, with the vision that God supplied, and he knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, David looked ahead, verse 31. He had the vision that God provided him. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we just heard and read, that he was neither abandoned to the grave, nor did his flesh suffer a decay. Then Jesus, who God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses, Peter said to them. This same Peter said in 1 Peter, his letter, chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for God's own presence, possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What vision was Peter helping those who read this letter with? He was helping their vision, the vision of the household of God, so that they might proclaim the excellencies of God who had called them out of darkness. And we can see as well in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, New American Standard Version of 2 Timothy 4, verse 8 says, in the future there is laid up for me, Paul was telling Timothy, a crown of righteousness for the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. All of us who love his appearing. What vision! But you, beloved, as Jude said in the book of Jude, verse 20, you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith with the vision that God supplies to his household. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for his mercy, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, to eternal life. As we think about the vision, sharing that with each other in the household of God, we can be encouraged by Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, where it speaks of, in Proverbs 11, 25, the generous man being prosperous. It says, he who waters will himself be watered. This is the vision that we share with each other in the household of faith, the household of God. Paul told those in Ephesians in chapter 3, this is the reason, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, this is the reason I bow before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened in this vision with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may live in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth of this vision that he has imparted to us through his Spirit. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's the vision we need to continue to retain as his household. He is able to do far more abundantly beyond everything we ask or think according to the power that works in us to his glory, verse 21, in the church, his body, his household, and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever. Those who watch sporting events are always anxious about the outcome of the game, right? For the sake of the team that they're cheering on, they watch the game, they're under the tension during the game, knowing that one single play could totally change the outcome of the game. But the vision we share as God's household, because of the encouragement of our fellow saints, gives us that peace that we just read about that surpasses all understanding. The vision that we need to hang on and endure to the end, to stand strong arm in arm with each other, because we know the outcome intended by our Father. As we're told in Jeremiah 29, 11, verse 11 of chapter 29 in Jeremiah, Jeremiah, "For I know the plans that I have for you," God declares. "I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." This is the vision that God reveals to his household, to give us a future and a hope. And as John said in 1 John 5:13, "These things I have written to you who believe, you who are in the household, you who are privileged to know what this vision is all about. You who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." That you may know that you have eternal life. That is the vision he wants us to hold on to. As we look into 2020 with this vision, it's imperative that we remember what Paul wrote to the Hebrews in chapter 12, right? Verse 2, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, the one who begun us with this vision in this faith, and the one who completes it, the one who is the perfecter and completer of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God his Father." I love what John wrote in chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, verse 2, he says, "Beloved," here he's further enhancing our belief and understanding in the vision of eternal life. He says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared yet. It has not yet appeared what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." Jesus was telling them in chapter 21, in Luke 21, verse 28, "When you see all these things beginning to happen," all the things he was talking about, like he did in Matthew 24, all the things that we see around us, the things in South America and the revolting and the demonstrating and the chaos in various countries and the murder and accidents and calamities around the world. "When you see all these things begin to happen," Jesus Christ said, "here's the vision you need to hang on to. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." There's an old proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, if you want to get somewhere, go quickly, go alone. But if you want to go far, if you really want to go far, go together. That is why God has given us this vision and put us together in his household of faith. And we can be reminded in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6, New American Standard Translation says, "So then, while we have the opportunity, while we get to go together, retaining this vision in 2020, while we have this opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Especially to those who are of the household of faith. As we look around us, we see how important it is to support each other and retain this spiritual vision that God has given us, not yielding to the affliction of myopia, but retaining this spiritual vision that God has given to us through his word, the hope of his promises that he's revealed to us in his household of faith.